Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast on the 22nd of August, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, along with Eric Pfeiffer on the news today, including reports on the crops in the field and what yield potential might be this year. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's forecast has some changes, but still plenty of dry weather. And the entire soy complex was higher yesterday. Corn futures were steady. We have market analysis with Tom Fritz on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Corn conditions around the state. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The crop tour rolled through Indiana earlier this week. Soybeans, as expected, looked fantastic. Corn, though, didn't exactly impress. Pro Farmer pegged their Indiana corn estimate at 187.5 bushels, around 3% more than a year ago, but well below what many around here might project. That includes Purdue Extension corn specialist Dan Corn Quinn. Pro Farmer said they spotted tar spot and other corn diseases as they entered Indiana. Quinn says he's seen tar spot in many fields, including his own research plots. He's still anticipating record yields here in Indiana this season.
A lot of that corn is at a point where even though we have it, it's really not going to impact it. So it really comes back to, you know, when that tar spot comes in. So if you're doing yield estimates now and you're finding tar spot, you know, in the lower canopy and maybe pushing towards the middle canopy, but that corn is, you know, dented or just beginning to dent, you know, we probably don't expect much of a yield reduction at all from that tar spot.
Quinn isn't concerned with the crop tour number. He's actually encouraged by the 3% bump from a year ago.
Last year, I think they were in the low 180s. For their yield estimate for the state, and then it was 203 last year. So they're actually ahead in terms of their yield average for the state comparison to last year, which was the state record yield last year.
As Quinn does his own informal crop tour of the Hoosier State, he's confident that we're in good shape for another year of strong yields, barring anything crazy happening.
Just looking at the data, I'd say the eastern part of the state's had some disease issues. They've been a little bit more challenged in terms of the overall rainfall and the weather conditions that they've had than I would say the western part of the state. But you look at, you know, Southwest Indiana, just outstanding crop conditions down there. Central Indiana, outstanding crop conditions.
Check out my full interview with Quinn at HoosierAgToday.com. Now, darn near everybody, except for Pro Farmer, expects us to hit a record corn yield this year in Indiana. Even USDA has us at 207 bushels per acre. But as Andy Eubank reports, Northwest Indiana might struggle to hit that mark.
Time will tell. We still got about, you know, 5 or 6 weeks here before we get to harvest. And a lot of the corn is just starting to dent, so we can still put a lot of test weight and a lot of grain fill in. And a lot to be told yet, but I think the 207 for Northwest Indiana is going to be pretty tough.
Jeff Lakin, a technical agronomist for Channel Seeds. In a Channel Seeds growing season update, he tells HAT the problems with the crop north of Rensselaer started with later planting dates.
We planted a lot of corn in late May and early June even. We had some stand issues in some places, and you know, we had a big rain early in July. We had about 6 to 12 inches across part of my territory the first 2 weeks of July, and then it shut off. We were really getting dry there at the end of July, first part of August. We were really starting to see a lot of heat stress and drought stress across some of northern Jasper and Newton counties into Lake and Porter somewhat. Really, it was starting to take a toll on that crop. For the most part, a lot of my territory, the corn looks really good. You get south of Rensselaer and go east, and the crop looks fantastic.
Lakin says the northern Indiana soybean crop is as good as advertised, but there were also problems in July.
You move into some of these pockets up here north of me at Rensselaer, where we had some of that heavy rain, the beans took a toll in July. We had a lot of yellowing of beans, some ponding. We got some holes in some of the beans. But they're coming along now. They really do look pretty good for the most part. I think there'll be some variability in them as well. But we got a lot of time on the soybeans yet. We got a long ways to go on some of these.
He does want farmers to continue scouting with soybean aphids and tar spot prevalent in late planted cornfields. Some farmers are still considering a late season fungicide application. Hear more in the full Hat and Channel Seeds growing season update at HoosierAgToday.com and our free mobile app. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here as we finish out this week and get ready to move into next week, a few changes this morning. Now, they're not changes that are completely unexpected, but we are going to see a few changes in the forecast. Let's talk about the nearby first. That's where we don't have any significant changes. We're still looking at very dry weather conditions through this weekend. We are seeing temperatures creep up ever so slightly now, and humidity values, I think, are really going to start popping over the weekend as well. So the comfortable levels that we've seen over the past few days, those are probably done. But I still think that we're looking at sunshine and very nice weather overall through the weekend. Now, as you see the humidity values creep up, instability can definitely start to creep up as well. And that's what I'm seeing now for next week. I think we have to allow for some heat-based instability in here Monday through Wednesday ahead of our frontal boundary on Thursday. That front is still slated to move through Thursday, midday and afternoon, give everyone a nice shot of rain. But Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday ahead of it, pop-up showers and thunderstorms cannot be ruled out. I don't think we have any more than about 40 to 60% coverage on any of those days individually. And when you string them together, I think it's probably 70% coverage of the state. So not everybody's going to see moisture through the week, but central Indiana, southern Indiana inline probably Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday we can see something pretty much anywhere. And it's all thanks to heat and humidity and the instability that's in the atmosphere. So gear up for that. That's the minor change here, the minor tweak. It's not surprising given the more humid and the higher dew point conditions that we're seeing for next week. Now, the frontal boundary on Thursday gives everyone a chance at probably a quarter to 1 inch of moisture. I don't think there's a lot of thunderstorms in that frontal boundary passage, but there may be a few. And behind it, we're moving into a much cooler, much drier forecast window for the Labor Day holiday weekend. As a matter of fact, as we get into Friday the 31st, I'm seeing a significant push of cool air coming across the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes. This could be one of the coolest starts to a Labor Day holiday weekend that we've seen in a minute or two. So it's definitely a air mass shift coming from that very warm, very humid, very unstable air mass that dominates most of next week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I don't think anybody's complaining, though, at the fact that we have some rain in the forecast. We all could use some, especially by the time we get to Monday. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Mixed markets, only beans post a solid day throughout. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'll have all the settlements coming up shortly. We begin, though, with market analysis. And I spoke with Tom Fritz for that at the end of trade. Tom in Chicago at EFG Group. Tom, wheat lower, steady in corn on Wednesday, and more gains in the soybean futures market. A number of factors could have been at play for mild gains there, including the entire soy complex, meal and oil higher too.
Looks like the bean complex is starting to find some renewed buying interest. Since August 1st, the USDA on their daily reporting system has announced 2.176 million tons of soybeans sold, and of that amount, 1.194 million tons have been targeted to China. I also think if you go back to August 1st and look at what the dollar's been doing. As we speak, the dollar right now is at new 2024 lows. So I think that's getting us some business away from South America. I'm also, we don't see this, but I've got some people that follow the vegetable oil market that tell them that we're going to see some better business for soybean oil. As it's gotten a lot more competitive with some of the cheaper vegetable oils. So, and if you look, I'm not sure how many of you track the spread between meal and oil. But the trade to be in as of late has been to be long soybean oil, short soybean meal. But being long soybeans, I'm not sure it's going to go anywhere right now. Yeah, we're getting a little bit of a boost from the business announcements, but I'm sure every one of you are following the Pro Farmer Tour. And when you read a headline that Indiana's soybean pod count is the largest on the tour in the past 22 years. That's pretty difficult to ignore a number like that. And the corn yield, it's another big number. And the bottom line is the tour is finding some really big crop potential out there. And, I think that tends to mute the idea that, prices have gone a little bit too low. But I think it just really substantiates the rationale that bottom picking is just not going to work right now. There are some folks thinking that the dryness that we're currently experiencing may cut into our soybean yield. But I've been around a long time, and I've seen, dry August impact the soybean market only to see the crop saved with September rains. And the current forecast, yeah, they're dry, but they're not totally dry. And I want to say, looking at the 11 to 15 day outlook from the midday, it does have some better moisture out there. And we really don't have any big temperatures to, advance the drying rates. Well, you get up in the northern plains, it's going to get a little toasty. But here in the Midwest, as we speak, we're enjoying some just wonderful temperatures. So I think for the time being, the grain markets are, we're kind of stuck. I don't see the need to go lower right now, but, short covering is going to be our best buying. And I'm not sure where that can go. It's hard to ignore in the soybean sector a carryout as big as the USDA is touting. In corn, yeah, there's room to rally. The carryout is not too... It's not too, if you will. There's room to bring that down with better business. Ukraine's corn crop continues to shrink a little bit. And, over the past year, Ukraine, they were the top supplier to China. So if they don't have the corn this year, guess where China's going to go? Of course, then again, they did a deal with Argentina not long ago. They did a deal with Brazil a year ago. So, but you know, if we can keep this dollar under the gun, such as it has been, that's going to really help us in the long term. Short term, maybe not so much, but longer term, if we can keep the dollar down, it really enhances our competitiveness in the world markets. You know, you may ask the question, well, what's going on with the wheat market? Why isn't it helping out wheat? Well, right now the wheat market is dominated by the Russian prices. You know, they're they continue to be the elephant in the room. And as long as their prices stay down, we're going to stay down. European prices continue to grind lower. You read all these stories about a short crop out of the European Union. Yeah, that is all well and true. But they have to compete with the Black Sea. And in this case, they have to compete with Russia. And the Russian prices are staying on the defensive. So, you know, in this case, we continue to be a follower. So if those prices are going to stay depressed, our wheat prices are going to stay depressed. How long this lasts, well, that remains to be seen, because I'm just not really seeing anything on the horizon that says we've got a dramatic turnaround coming. Cash markets, both corn and soybeans, they're soft. I think a lot of that is old crop moving to make room for the new crop. I am seeing the Gulf basis improving, but they tell me that's due to low water levels. So, you know, that really doesn't help the flat price. It will help the spreads that have been under pressure lately. So, but, you know, trying to figure out where is a big flat price rally going to come from, I'm at a loss for words.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now, settlements from Wednesday trade quietly up on front month corn, September 375 and a half, up a half cent. Dece up a quarter at 398 and a quarter. March down three quarters, 417. September beans, 963, gaining five and three quarters. Novi, 981 and a half, a nickel and a half higher. And September wheat, 519 and three quarters, down 13 and a quarter. Meats lower. October live cattle 174.62, down 97. October lean hogs 25 lower at 76.15. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.